The first Bible reading for tonight is Romans chapter 3, 27 to chapter 4, verse 12, and can be found on the screen above.
When, then, is boasting? Is it excluded? Because of what law? The law that requires work? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Or is it God, the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we, then, nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If he, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let's just pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Harry's baptism, and as we now look at your word to think about what that actually means, we pray that your Spirit will speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's great to see you all here. In our regular evening services, we've been working our way through the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, which is all about trying to help the Christians in Rome grasp what it truly is to be a Christian, so that they may be an effective base for mission, because Paul's wanting to come to Rome and then go out beyond that to Spain and beyond. And so we've been working our way through. So in a sense, you're coming in tonight a little bit halfway through a conversation. I want us to focus on the passage we had read earlier, which is on page 1131 in the Church Bible. So do grab one from the ends of the pews. And as we look at that passage from Romans, I just really want us to think, what does Harry's baptism mean for us in terms of both our own faith and how we look on others in the world? Because one of the key problems that Paul was addressing is that these Christians in Rome think, why should we even be bothered about the state of people in Spain? Because, I mean, we're the heart of the empire, and Spain's just that lot over there. You know, why should they even be bothered about them? And also addressing particularly the Jewish Christians in Rome, who similarly had an attitude about, well, why should we worry about the evangelism of the rest of the world? Why does it matter so much? And so what Paul's been doing is teaching them what the heart of being a Christian is, and how that therefore means they should be ready to welcome, accept, and bring the good news, the call to repentance and faith, which is what Harry's just demonstrated for us this evening, to bring that to all people, whatever background they come from. And so at the very heart of what Paul's been saying is this rather complicated phrase: we're justified by faith alone, through grace alone, basically what that is saying is we're put right with God, okay, by what Jesus has done. Nothing else. We're put right with God by what Jesus has done and absolutely nothing else. And that's the foundation of what it is to be a Christian. And it's this that puts a big capital no to any kind of boasting and provides us with the grounds for welcoming others just as Christ has welcomed us. This phrase, justification by faith alone, through grace alone, being right with God because of what Jesus has done with us, was the great rallying call in the 16th century at the time of the Reformation. It was the rediscovered doctrine that that liberated the church and liberated Christians for all the things they had been told they had to do in the sort of medieval Catholic Church. It was penance, indulgences, pilgrimages, masses, and all the other kind of stuff that people thought they had to do in order to make themselves right with God. And it was the discovery of this truth that it's all about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that alone is what is actually at the heart of that. And that is then the call to repentance and faith. And what it means is that we actually, all of us, bring nothing to God except our sin and deserve nothing from God except his wrath, his righteous judgment. That's basically what the first three chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans have been saying. But then in the passage we looked at last Sunday night, just those few verses, 20 to 26, read them when you go home. They're really important. What it says there is because of Jesus, we get everything but God's wrath. Rather, we get forgiveness and a right status with God, a new life, hope, love, every spiritual blessing, and the power of the Spirit to transform us and equip us to leave behind those sinful patterns which had earned God's wrath. And that it is entirely a free gift received by faith. We see that in verse 5 of chapter 4. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited to them as righteousness. We bring nothing, we receive everything. And that's what's symbolized by Harry's baptism. All that stuff in us which deserves God's wrath is buried as Harry goes down into the water. And then as he comes up out of the water, that symbolizes the new life, leaving behind all of those old patterns. And so we have so much to praise God and to thank God for. In tonight's passage, what we discover is that there were three stumbling blocks or hurdles that have often stopped people receiving all that God wants for them. And each of them is a form of pride or boasting. That's why when Sam read it, that first line is, where then is the boasting? And wherever there's boasting, that stops us from welcoming other people as Christ has welcomed us. So the key application in a sense today is that if we get right that we are only saved by what God has done for us and by putting our trust in him, then we'll have a right attitude towards others and be able to welcome and bring the gospel to other people, which is what Paul wanted the Roman Christians to do. And, you know, it's what I mean, we're going to be hearing from some of our youngsters going off to university. That's what they're going to be wanting to do, surrounded by lots of people that don't know Jesus. And so let's look briefly at these three hurdles, okay? Justification by faith alone through grace alone frees us from boasting about national privileges, and we see that in the end of chapter 3. The Jews loved their, as it were, their boundary markers that defined who they were and similarly defined that everybody else was outside that. The things like observing the law, so they could distinguish who was in and who was out. But verse 28 tells us that God justifies people apart from observing the law. He's not a Jewish God, but one God of all people and for all people. And it is easy for us, similarly, to see ourselves as some way favoured by God and somehow better than others on the basis of stereotypes, in the same way that those Jewish Christians did in their day, and then to look down on other people because they're not like us. And one only has to look at the kind of stereotypes that we read about and are presented to us often in the media. You know, I'm not a Somali refugee. I'm not a Polish plumber. I'm not a second, third generation Asian or whatever. You know, all of this Brexit debate's been rattling around these kind of stereotypes and so on, and people taking pride in who we are and the others are outside. Now, as a Christian, those kind of attitudes have no place for us. And it's actually by knowing that we are only right with God on the basis of what Jesus has done for us that actually liberates us from actually being drawn in to thinking about any of those sorts of stereotypes. The second hurdle, justification by faith alone, through grace alone, frees us from boasting about merit. And we see this in the first 8 verses of chapter 4. Paul looks back to Abraham, who, as an example, the father of the Jewish race and the source of their pride, and uses his example to show that we can't boast in what we achieve, our works, our merit. We're told that Abraham believed and God credited him as righteous, not because he was a good bloke. A brief skim through the relevant chapters of Genesis will show that Abraham made plenty of mistakes and did plenty of things wrong. It will show his many failings. But the person who is blessed in verses 6 to 8 is the one God has forgiven, not the one who has earned his wages from God by being better than others. The point is, we can't place God under obligation to us by the good things we do for him. Otherwise, grace would not be grace. It wouldn't be a free gift. It would be something we earn like wages. And I think this is such a stumbling block for us in our day, because we all want to prove ourselves decent people. And in a sense, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is we go further than that. And we start to categorize ourselves and others by comparing their failings with our perceived merits. And so we get proud. We boast. We trust in what we've done. We trust in what we've achieved. And we look down on others and fail to accept them as Jesus has accepted us. And the third hurdle, justification by faith alone, by grace alone, frees us from boasting about religion. And we see that in verses 9 to 12 with that slightly complicated bit about circumcision. The Jews had circumcision. They got that from Abraham. And they treated it as a kind of visa which gave them privileged access to God. But Paul reminds them in verse 10 that Abraham was counted as righteous before he was circumcised, not as a result of him being circumcised. So again, this kind of religious activity gives no ground for boasting. What matters, as Paul says in verse 12, is not your outward religion, but walking in the steps of faith that Abraham had before he was circumcised. Not the outward sign, but actually the faith that Abraham had before he was circumcised. And so similarly, we must never treat the outward signs as our passport to God, as if because I've been baptized, or because I've been baptized in a particular way, or because I've received communion or whatever, that automatically obliges God to accept me. These things are given to us by God, baptism and the Lord's Supper, as a confirmation of our faith and a confirmation of God's promises, rather than, as it were, a visa to guarantee us privileged access irrespective of how we live. And similarly with other types of religious activity, it's so subtle. We can so easily turn those things which are for our good, Bible reading, prayer, coming to church, etc., into a source of pride. And that trips us up into categorizing people. We think we're better because we do these things and they don't. And we take pride and we don't accept others as Christ has accepted us. So to be a Christian is to be justified by faith alone, through grace alone. What we are in God's sight, which is forgiven, righteous, loved, is entirely his gift that we receive through trusting his promise. So to come back to the initial question of the passage, where is the boasting? Well, it is excluded. There are no grounds for us to boast or in any way to look down on others. Rather, we have every incentive to welcome one another with open hearts, without distinction, because that is how our Lord Jesus Christ has welcomed us. He's called us to come to him, to repent, to turn to Christ and be transformed by him, and to live in Christ's way, which has been beautifully pictured for us in Harry's baptism this evening. So wherever and whenever you may find yourself categorizing someone as different from you, remember that though superficially people may be different from us, knowing we are justified by faith alone through grace alone means we will accept them all with humility and without distinction, just as Christ accepted us. And I think for the youngsters that are going to be going away to university, you know, you just go into this in the first few days in which you're just going to complete this melting pot of all and sundry from all sorts of different places, and superficially you're all very different and so on. And it's so easy to run into categorizing and looking for those that you think are like you and so on and so forth. I think what this passage shows us is as we go into that melting pot of humanity, to remember that the most important thing about us is what God has done freely for us to save us, to rescue us, to bring his love, forgiveness and mercy to us, and that we should there overflow with that to all, whoever we meet, and you will have wonderful opportunities to do that. After all, even though the crowd despised him, Jesus didn't leave Zacchaeus up the tree. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ you have done everything for us and given that to us as a free gift to be received by faith. We thank you so much for the fact that Harry has accepted you by faith and publicly demonstrated that this night. We pray for each one of us that that might be a faith that changes us and changes our attitudes to all that we come across this week. In Jesus' name, amen.